All right, we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Beginning at verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, until the concluding verse of 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
They want to talk about living victoriously. Living victoriously. As you know, this has been our theme all year long. And it's just really, I'm really grateful and appreciative that the Lord has allowed us to get to this moment, at this time, so that we might understand even more so what it means to live victoriously. I want to help us to understand today that victory can only be ours, and the victorious life can only be ours through the power of God. We cannot live victoriously without trusting that power of God in our life. Paul was and has been deliberate as he addresses the church in Ephesus and explains what it means to be chosen of God. Paul is deliberate in explaining to them how they would, or how they through faith have become heirs and partakers of the promise of God. And verse 7 through 9, he demonstrates the mercy of God through his own testimony. Paul challenges the church to walk boldly and to walk confidently in the purpose of God and become witnesses to the world of the salvation that God has extended, watch this, through his Son, Jesus Christ. But now, in these final verses, this pericope in Ephesians chapter 3, he prays for the church. These final verses are a prayer. They are the summation of his prayer. And yes, this letter, it challenges the Ephesians or the church in Ephesus to live differently, to live victoriously as he prayed for them.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
So it is. He mentions, Paul does, his prayer, and he outlines this prayer so that the Ephesian church may know exactly what it means to be victorious through Christ. First, he wants them and he challenges them as he's praying for them.
Right.
He says, for this cause, I bow on my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is, he's really making reference and cueing us in on something as it takes those of us who would live victoriously to understand. And that is that when we live victoriously, we live under the subjection of God. You see it? We live under the subjection of God. The victorious life is not a life that stands on its own so-called power. But it is the life that is subjected to the sovereign will of God and that alone. Can I just make it a little clearer? You and I don't have any power. And you and I are not sovereign. We can't make anything happen. I mean, look, let's just be real about it. You can't make folk see things your way. Can't make folk hear you. Can't make folk be like you. Like you, think about you, know you. So what gives us any idea that we have any power above that which God gives us? So, and I guess I better say, we really can't make ourselves do anything. So it is, he says, and helps us to understand that we are under the subjection of God. He cues us into this simply because he says that he bows his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He makes it clear here, and Paul is really being particular here because in his past he wasn't so hot on the subject of Jesus. He persecuted others because of their belief in Christ. And now he makes it known and makes it clear that, yes, Christ is, watch this, the Son of God. And he's the resurrected Savior. He says the same God who is the Father of Jesus Christ is the one I'm praying to. He wants to make it clear that there's no separation. And he wants to make it distinctively clear that you cannot have one without the other. So he subjects himself to the authority of God. And he exemplifies this so that we might understand the necessity of all of us to subject ourselves to the authority of God. Look what he says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's saying that he has complete authority over both heaven and earth. He says he is Father, and not only is God Father, but he is, watch this, Creator. Paul prays to God because he's under the authority of God. Pray. I'm trying to help us get somewhere. What are you trying to help us see, Reverend? I'm trying to help you to see that because we are under the authority of God, that we need to be prayers to God.
Amen.
And everything that happens in our life comes from God. Paul says he bows to him. He reverences him. He honors him. And I want us to understand that that's what he wants. That's the exemplification he sets and the tone he sets for even us. That we reverence God. The victorious believer reverences God. He honors God. He understands he's under the authority of God. He understands that his victory only comes from God. There's a song we sing that says, "Victory is mine. Victory is mine." And truth be told, that victory can only be known when we're under subjection to the Father. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Because what that really means is that we don't have to fight our battles. We've got a God who will fight them for us. We subject ourselves to him. It puts us in position to where he has to take care of us. You want victory? You want power? You want to be able to walk through walls? Subject yourself to God, knowing that God will take care of you. That's all he's saying. He's saying to each of us today to surrender to the authority of God, reverence him, know that there is nobody above him, and watch this, that we're not above him. So he says that the authority that God displays is one of graciousness, which we are strengthened by. And so he secondly gives us the idea and the understanding that when we live victorious, we are empowered by God to be spiritual. Verses 16 through 19 are very clear as it describes the attitude and the actions of a believer. He's praying and he says, "This is what I prayed for. I pray for you. I pray for you that you are strengthened." Watch this. There's a little phrase in there that you just can't overlook. He says, "Strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man." To be strengthened with might means, he said, that you are strengthened with ability. You're strengthened with possibility. You are strengthened, watch this, with ability to do what God has laid out and dictated for you to do. He says, "I pray for this." Nobody can stop you from being what God wants you and desires you to be. Because he said, I've prayed that you are strengthened with the ability. What is Paul saying? He's saying that we are who have accepted Christ as our Savior, those of us who have become believers, watch this, we have the ability to be spiritual. There is no excuse. There's no excuse for us not to be spiritual. Because he's given us the power to be spiritual. He says there's a changing of the mind, a changing of the heart. He says, what am I asking this ability to be, and what ability is God providing, and what am I praying for? I'm praying that you may have the ability, watch this, to know the love of Christ. Right. To know the love of Christ really means to exercise the love of Christ. Can I just tell you? We've got the ability, yes, sir, to exercise his love. We're empowered by God to be
spiritual people. And look, let me just tell you, God doesn't empower us with something that he doesn't expect out of us. Paul talks about there's one word that seemed to just continue to flow throughout these three verses, 16 through 19, and that is really the sense and the idea of love. And he's saying that those who are spiritual know how to love in spite of who wrongs them, knows how to love in spite of the pain and the hurt. He says they know how to love because they remember how Christ has loved. Another way to say that we are empowered by God to be spiritual is that we are mature in Christ. See, the stuff that got under our skins before we were Christian ought not always get under our skin. Come on now. The way we used to react ought not be the same way we react. Does this make sense? Okay, all right. That's not working. All right. Okay. All right. All right. When we were younger, we used to have a saying for people who just didn't seem to act mature. As we believe they ought to act. We would say stuff like, I don't know if the young folk say it nowadays, but we would say something like, "Act your age, not your." You say that?
Yeah.
Act your age, not your shoe size. That was our way of saying, "Grow up." That's how Big Mama said it. You know. Grow up. There ought to be a point in our life in Christendom, as Christians, as believers, as saints of God, where we have really matured. We have grown up. We're acting our spiritual age and not our shoe size. You know, I mean, come on. You remember how we used to act when we were growing up? I mean, you know what I'm saying? This mind, that you can't hold it. And you know what I'm saying? Don't touch me. Stop. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you remember those type of things?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you believe that even now and even in the church at Ephesus, people were acting that way? Didn't want to love, didn't want to share, didn't want to treat people right. They were, look, and he wanted them to understand, you've got to grow up. You've got to learn how to love, even when people don't love you. You got to learn how to love, even when folk treat you wrong. As Christians, we must mature and become examples of what a spiritual life is.
Yeah.
Reverend, how do I do that? Y'all ask good questions. Well, a couple of things would be, don't harbor ill will towards others who hurt you. Can I just be honest? All of us have been hurt. And I'm not tempted to minimize the hurt in anybody's life.
All right, now.
But truth be told, that ain't the first time you've been hurt. Can I just throw something else in there for free? It ain't going to be the last time. So you may as well just grow up and understand that being spiritual is not about, watch this, our feelings, but about the feelings of others, and watch this, about pleasing God. He said they're strengthened and that they know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ is to exercise the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ is to experience the love of Christ. How have we experienced the love of Christ? Can I just point to it real quick? Way back out on Calvary.
Wow.
He gave his hands to the cross, his feet to the cross, his side to the spear. Why is that? White for the sins of the world. Those who have sinned against him and transgressed against him, his love was still shown. To know the love of Christ is to reflect on the love of Christ. Look, when we really want to get that person back, we ought to just reflect on Christ's love for us. Know the love of Christ, exercise the love of Christ by treating others with love. When people run over you, live so that they see your love and not your anger. When people use you, just love them. Look, you got to get to a point. Look, I learned something a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you, look, sometimes we can perpetuate things when we start nitpicking and tit for tatting and so forth. It just perpetuates that anger and perpetuates that hurt and perpetuates that struggle. But when we start, watch this, when you start expressing the love of Christ in spite of what others do, guess what? After a while, they get tired. I don't know who wrote this song, but I think it fits here. They said, what is this that makes me feel? You've heard it. What is this that makes me love my? It's the love of Christ. All right, y'all don't like that. Well, look. And so it is, he says, that he prays. And so when we live victoriously, we are empowered by God to be spiritual. We're empowered by him to be different. We don't lay our religion down because watch this, we're spiritual. We don't refer and look, let me just say this. To be spiritual means that you are different from what you were. Paul says to us earlier, he says to us that those who are in Christ are a new creature. And the old things are passed away. Look, a spiritual believer, I'm going to say this and move on. A spiritual believer doesn't have the testimony that says, I've been this way all my life. Come on now. Because you can't meet Jesus and be the same way all your life. No. Ain't no such thing as once a cusser, always a cusser. Ain't no such thing as once a whoremonger, always a whoremonger. Ain't no such thing as once an adulterer, always adulterer. No, once a liar, always. No, there is a change that happens. There's a spiritual metamorphosis that occurs in our life where we live differently, walk differently, talk differently. Guess what? We love differently. That just makes sense? But Paul says we are empowered by God. Look. This is really something we struggle with, isn't it? We struggle with spirituality, don't we? We struggle with the power that God has given us to be different, don't we? But Paul says we're empowered to do it. It may not be easy, but we can do it. All right, last thing. When we live victoriously, we have the provisions of God. To be victorious is to understand that God provides for us. Look at verse 20, 21. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Don't run by that verse. According to the power that worketh, watch this, in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Paul says God has provisions. The victorious believer understands where his provisions come from. Look, he says, there are a couple of things he says about these provisions. He says they are exceedingly abundant. That is, watch this. That is that abundant means more than enough. Exceeding means running over. He says it's running over more than enough. Come here, I'm trying. Come here. It's more than enough, and it's running over, and this exceeding is an active word, which means that it is continuously running over. Come here. That is saying that God's provisions don't run out. He provides. This is why we would walk in victory, understanding that God will take care of us. Look, I understand now what the Old Testament means that when said that he owns a cattle upon a thousand. That's just another way of saying that it's running over. And it's more than enough. It's more than enough, but it keeps on going. You can look in the barrel and it's still running. You don't see the bottom of the barrel because it's still running over. God's provisions are exceeding and abundant. He says that they're exceeding abundant. Watch this. Wait a minute, White. There's something else here. He says that are above all that we ask or think. His provisions are running over, more than enough, and above what I can imagine, what I'm asked for. See, oftentimes we limit God. See, you ought not limit God to a car. You ought not limit. God has more for you. He's got stuff and things that you cannot imagine. And that's why the believer ought not be worried about nothing. You ought not worry yourself when you get in a rut. You ought not worry yourself when you get in a struggle. You ought not worry yourself when you get in a crunch, because you've got a Father. Remember, that's what he calls them earlier. You've got a Father who will provide for you and has more than enough to provide for you. And it's continuously running for you. And not only is it more than enough to continue, but it's above what you can imagine. More than you can ask for. It's above what you can ask for or even think about. But then he says, according to the power that worketh in us. What is that power? That power is our faith, and that faith is displayed through our prayer. You want what God has for you? Let me tell you how to access it. You've got to learn how to pray, baby. Ain't no need trying to scheme. No demon trying to work it out yourself. No need in trying to look. Don't go to God with no plan A and plan B. Just go to God with the prayer and let the Lord work out what the plan is. I don't know about you. You got to get to a point in your life where you say, if God can't handle it, it just can't be handled. But since I know that now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant in my life, I trust him. So it is. He says that God has provisions, and he wants us to get to a point where we trust God. Can't trust man. Man will let you down. Can I tell you something? Let me just be honest with you. I need to help some folk today. Look, y'all, I know y'all think I'm perfect, but look, there may come a time, and there may come a moment when I may just let you down. But can I tell you, I serve a man who can what? Take care of you beyond what you imagine. God is the source of all that we need and want. Oh, I know you think I'm perfect. But pray to God for answers to your problem. You need answers to your problem. You need answers to your situation. You need answers to your worries. You need answers to your wants. You need. Pray. You ought to just pray. You ought to pray. Regardless of how minute or small you think it is. Just pray. Look, remind yourself that God has complete authority. And whatever will be according to the will of God will be, and I'm all right with that. Pray. You need a job? Pray. You want that promotion? Pray. Look, I'm not limiting God to that, but I'm just trying to say, because you know that's the world we live in. Yeah. Whereas people try to manipulate the system to get what they want. And I'm trying to help you to understand you don't have to do that, because you serve a God who can take care of you.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't get mad at me, but you want a man? Pray. Pray, 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 pray. You want to know why? You want to know why you ain't with the one you thought you was supposed to have? Because you didn't pray for that one. Pray. Pray you get the right one, baby. Pray. You want a woman? Pray. Pray, 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 pray. I know what your problem is. You looking for Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome. And God is sending you somebody who will provide and take care of you. But you don't want that. You ought to pray. I'm trying to help somebody here today. Your problem is you're looking for Miss Fine as a Dime. I mean, you know, 36, 24, 36. The Lord is sending you that 3-liter that can take care of you, put food on your plate. I'm saying you ought to pray. Maybe not quite a 3-liter, but you know. God will send you what you need. He has all power. He'll take care of you. Yeah, you want, look, you want a job that's going to pay you millions of dollars, and you ain't got no experience nowhere. You ought to just pray that the Lord will send you what you need until you get what you got, so you can go where you can go and be where he wants you to be. Pray. You just got to pray. You just got to pray. You just got to pray. I'm going to close it, but you've got to pray. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, whatever it is you need to pray. Look, can I just tell you something? There's some people you trying to help that haven't began to help themselves. Some people that you've been trying to fix the problem for, you've been doing stuff for, they haven't made a move. They stepping back, moonwalking on you. You got to get to a point and say, look, I can't do it no more. I ain't going to try. I'm going to pray and let the Lord handle it. I'm getting happy here, because I know the power of prayer. Prayer not only changes things, prayer will change people too. Stop worrying yourself. Stop trying to make it work yourself. Stop trying to make it happen. Look, baby, there comes a time, this is what Big Mama said, where every tub got to sit on his own bottom. And look, you let the tub sit on his bottom and you just, wow, they're in it. You got to pray. You got to pray. I'm through now. I'm through now, but my soul done got happy. Because I know what prayer will do. Do I have any prayers in here? Sister Eggerson, won't he show up on time? Won't he make a way, Sister Turner? Won't he heal your body, Sister Murphy? Won't he do it if you just trust him? Sister Jones, won't he make a way out of no way? I just need some witnesses in here that can say, if you pray, God will take care of you. You want to walk in victory? Pray. You can't have victory without prayer. The victorious life is a praying life, a life that says that God has control. I'm through now. Reverend, why you let folk talk to you like that? Because I'm praying for them. That's why, you know. Why you let folk mistreat you? Because I'm praying for them. Why you just go on and don't say nothing? Because I can't argue and pray. I got to do one or the other. So I decided that I'll just pray. Pray. Look, that's his acronym. PUSH. Pray until something happens. I think that fits right there. There ought to be a point in your life where you just keep on praying. You don't see the results, but you know somehow, some way, if I just keep on pushing, God will make a way. Pray. Just pray. Just pray. Let us extend the privileges of the church. You may come by letter.